Now that AI is playing more of a role into everything that we do, I think face-to-face interactions are going to become more prominent. And I think that another layer to that is making sure that as a marketer and an event marketer that you're not just focusing on quantity, but quality.
Great events create great brands. But pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Felicia.
And you are listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
Well, welcome back. We are here live on CEvent Connect at the Convention Center, floor 3, right next to the Stars at Night Ballroom, where the Innovation Pavilion is today. I'm very excited to have our team from Sixth Sense. I feel like if you're in B2B marketing, you know Sixth Sense. You've probably been to one of their events, and excited to talk today about not just events, but what happens after the event. Like, what do we do when we move from the show floor to the sales funnel? And how do we leverage all the great momentum, all the great conversations, and turn that into pipeline and revenue? I'd love to have you guys introduce yourself. Allura, starting with you.
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Allura Rowe, based out of Atlanta. I help manage our ABX go-to-market team at Sixth Sense. I'm more so focused on the one-to-few and one-to-one activations within Sixth Sense. And then Ashley, you can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ashley Biggie. I'm our senior field marketer. So manage all of our trade shows, those fun meetings, work on all our events, and the ancillary that happens around any of those tier one to tier three events.
So I'm excited for this conversation. They're all great conversations, every one of them. Watch every episode. But this one especially because of what you guys are doing in the field, right? Everything from breakthrough to individual events to, you know, to CMO breakthrough. Or you have to get the breakthrough event. You've got Empowered. It's just an amazing amount of stuff. And so my first question is, what happens after the badge scan? But some of these events, there isn't even a badge scan. Talk about the strategy you have for events, like objectives and the approach that leads to what you do today.
Yeah, so our strategy is always to make sure that we're, first off, making sure that we're going after the right audience.
Mm-hmm.
Before we're going to any trade show, whether we have historical data or not, we're making sure that we're looking at the audience that's there, making sure they're relevant to us. So we're pulling not only the accounts and the ICP and making sure they're within there, but we're understanding where they're at in their buying stage. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to a trade show and everyone's an early buying stage account for us. And maybe we won't go as heavy. We'll do more educational pieces there, educate people on what we do, mm-hmm. versus if there's a ton of customers or late stage accounts that really need to get in front of a salesperson, maybe we'll invest more mm-hmm. in a meeting space to really get our sales reps in front. So yep. It really just depends and starts with the audience and making mm-hmm. sure that we understand and wrap our heads around the people that'll be there.
I think about the audience sometimes vertically and horizontally, right? I think about it sort of like vertically in terms of like, who's going to be in the room? Is it going to be the CMO? Is it going to be a director level sort of driving programs? Is it going to be someone who's like hands on keyboard with Sixth Sense on a daily basis? And then horizontally, think about like where they are in their journey,
right? Yeah.
That buying journey as well as the customer journey, both sides. How do you sort of like create a matrix around that and just manage an event strategy that accommodates all of that?
We look at, like Allura said, the audience, and we determine where they are in their buying journey and also what, if they're customers and prospects, like how big and how meaty do the conversations have to be, and then we pick the type of activation around that. Mm-hmm. So for some of our trade shows, they are extremely customer heavy. So we do our Club Six activation mm-hmm. where we ensure that we're getting in front of our customers and allowing them to meet with our subject matter experts and having those conversations while also doing dinners mm-hmm. and experiential one-to-one activations, all of the trade show activations that you have as well for getting in front of new customers and prospects. But when we are super customer heavy, we like to bring in those like, wow, surprise and delight moments.
Yeah. I'm firsthand aware of just the quality and also the quantity of events that you guys produce on an annual basis. Yeah. And I think for a lot of companies, it's easy to just white knuckle it through each event and move on to the next event. And that's a recipe for not getting a lot of benefit out of all the investment that you made. Talk about what it takes to build a really sort of event-centric strategy that capitalizes on the audience before and after the event itself.
Yeah. So before we go to any event, I've lived in a world before I got sophisticated within my career where, you know, you just see how many badge skins you can get at a trade show and then you throw them all to the sales team and it's mm-hmm. like, everyone follow up. That is not a world we live in any longer. We really strive to make sure that we have our pipeline even flowing in before we even get to a trade show. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, like I said earlier, historical data. We're looking at speaker lists. We're looking at who's local to a city.
Yep.
We're not siloing ourselves just to people that are going to necessarily a trade show. We're really trying to figure out, while we're there, who can we get in front of? So it's multi-touch approach in terms of, like she said, if we're going to be in person at a trade show or we're going to be doing a connect space outside of there, and really how are we going to engage them? The events are expensive, and you want to make sure that you're mm-hmm. getting the right people in the right seats
yeah.
that can be doing a lot of pipeline for you.
During the event, I like to have touch points with all of the people that are on site and ensuring that, like, we're getting voice notes, we're getting notes yeah. on handoff, any of the meetings that they've had, any meaningful conversations, any events that are needing to get booked, like, book them now, even yep. if it's just a meeting to figure out a time to book a larger broad meeting. Mm-hmm. And then when we do take those leads and give them to our sales team after, like, we have a post-event meeting where we scrub the tiering and ensure handoff actually happens, because sometimes things get stuck in Salesforce,
yeah.
right?
yeah.
And then we are making sure that, like, they are consistently being followed up with, and then they are put into Sixth Sense and tiered into their buying journey, where they're at, are they a 6QA? Mm-hmm. And then that will determine whether or not it is one of our AI emails, one of a real person, the account owner, like, how does that get filtered out? And making sure that those conversations are happening and doing check-ins, like you said earlier in your event, like right after the event, a couple weeks after, what was that post-mortem?
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing to check on the ROI journey and making sure that, like, we do manual scrubs to make sure that attribution is happening to all of our events, because they're expensive.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people also early in their event journey, it's super critical that you make sure that everything flows in dynamically and is automated, because mm-hmm. whenever you're on a showroom floor, if you're tracking things in a spreadsheet or a form, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
people are getting on flights, they're getting home, you have to get to yeah. your MOPS team, and then yeah. you get into your CRM. It's just yeah. delay, and yeah. like the touch point immediately after an event needs to be instantaneous,
yeah.
while also being personalized. Mm-hmm. No one wants a generic follow-up. You want to make sure it's either a product that is relevant to them or a pain point that's relevant and that you're speaking to. And so all of that being automated is super critical and timely.
Well, and you guys are great about drinking your own champagne, using Sixth Sense to actually sort of triage and prioritize those different leads. But you mentioned, like, leads getting stuck in CRM. I imagine that's not a problem that happens to anyone else other than just stuff sitting mm-hmm. up here. Those next parts of the process, even sort of manually having to scrub lists, it's kind of the reality yeah. of a lot of programs right now. But what is the role of technology that you see now and moving forward to really help accelerate and automate pieces of that? Everything, badge scanning, tracking activity, triaging that, and sort of kind of bridging the gap between sort of the potential that those events have and the reality of actually having to execute them in sometimes a very manual way.
Yeah, I think there are a ton of tools, like for our meetings specifically. I've talked about this a lot here. We use Jiffle Now. If we're meeting with people before we get to a show, while we're at a show, or after, we're using that tool. Everything flows in with our CRM, and everything mm-hmm. can be dynamically flowing into, maybe someone's not on site and they can see if someone checked in, they can see the notes on that activity.
Yep.
And then there are other tools out there that can capture leads as well that you can use. Mm-hmm. I know there's a handful of them in the market, but that as well is more timely than necessarily one that's not integrating with your CRM
yeah.
at the moment. I know they have lead capture capabilities, but then trade shows that you can purchase, but mm-hmm. one that isn't already plugged in and has the yeah. appropriate filters that you're already using.
That's right.
Just gets you there in a more timely manner.
Yeah. Let's start talking a little bit about handoff. Like, so you run an event, you've got some data, you've got some engagement. Now there needs to be a follow-up,
yeah.
right? Who does that follow-up? Is it a marketing follow-up? Is it a sales follow-up? How do you prioritize that follow-up?
Yeah.
How aggressive is that follow-up? When you think about sort of speed to follow-up as well as quality of follow-up, how do you build the playbook appropriately that not only respects the prospects of the customers, but also helps you drive and accelerate business value?
Yeah. It just depends on us in terms of where someone is in their journey. So mm-hmm. like I said, go to a show and have 3,000 badge scans.
Yep.
We aren't going to say, have fun, BDRs.
Right.
Have fun, sales reps.
Yeah.
We are going to first put them in, make sure they're in our ICP, make sure that they are emailing appropriately. Our team does a back-end build on what our ICP looks like mm-hmm. and making sure that things are emailing appropriately. But that's when our buying stage comes in next. We want only our BDRs and sales reps to really focus on ones that we call 6QA accounts, which right. are accounts that are in the right buying stage. They're showing enough intent data for them to want to have a conversation with the sales rep. No one mm-hmm. wants to necessarily go on a first date with someone like yeah. right off the bat unless you get to know them a little bit or know a little bit about them. So it just depends on where they're at in their buying stage. And if someone is early adopter, maybe we'll throw them into a nurture. Maybe like Ashley said, we will put them into our AI agent emails and start to educate them more in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on where they're on their journey.
Yeah, I think this is a place where you guys really excel mm-hmm. at sort of an advanced level of what we've been talking about today is event-led growth programs. where you've got integrated teams working together on this. Like you've got an event team nailing getting the event done and having a great experience. You've got an ops team that's sort of managing the back end, the technology and the lists. Then you've got to figure out the sales enablement play. Like it's not mm-hmm. just like, here's a bunch of leads and follow up, please don't follow up with these others. What does the sales enablement playbook look like? Like, is it, how explicit do you get in terms of what to say, what to send, and how to engage with those prospects after an event?
Pretty explicit.
Yeah. I'm not going to get over this. I mean, I think everyone's unique in this, but we make sure that we have sales loft template or sales loft templates that we use that are relevant to personas for follow-up. We make sure that we have dashboards built that will outline which reps have and haven't done follow-up so we can track it down to a calling people out level, if you will. We also make sure that we have content that's relevant to them and that we have everything built out within our dashboards so they can just take a look at where check-ins happen, where no-shows happen, where attendance happens. So
I think something that feels pretty basic to us, but I know is not, is we have an ABX deck that has pre-event, like all of the information that you need on a slide for that event. After the event, that slide flips to post-event, and here are all the resources for it. And that slide is linked in the notes that are uploaded into every single lead that comes out in Salesforce. And then also any of the notes from those meaningful conversations that we have on site. Again, like we'll tier the lead based off of like, wasn't a meaningful conversation, were they just there? And that will help Salesforce and Sixth Sense filter them into the appropriate type of response that can be automated. And I think we're pretty hands-on with ensuring that they get all this stuff. Yeah.
That's great.
We also make sure that every single event or campaign that we do has a unique Salesforce campaign created, which is very, you know, oftentimes the basics, but we have really done a good job at making sure our sales team knows where to tag opportunities appropriately. So within those Salesforce campaigns, we also have all of the details that you could possibly want on that campaign. So what was it? What was the event? Here are all the assets to it, linking to that ABX deck, so we can make sure that people are tagging opportunities appropriately as well.
Got it. Let's move on and talk a little bit about ROI and measurement, right? Which can be a sticky wicket depending on sort of the organization you're in and the expectations of what happens out of events. Talk a little bit about how you sort of manage reporting and expectations at the event level and all the way up to the C-suite.
So we measure a number of things. Mm-hmm. We first off measure, like I mentioned, tagging those opportunities for source pipeline, which is critical.
Yep.
We also want to take a look at influence pipeline. If we're touching customers that have renewals or deal accelerations, we also want to track that. We also like to look at our ABX win rate. When ABX is involved, and I think you talked about this stat earlier, like when events are involved, like you're more likely to see pipeline progress or deals open. We like to track our win rate there.
Yep.
We're always striving for a 10x ROI for any event that we do. But to your point, how do you measure that up to C-suite? Like, especially if you've never done something before, how are you going to justify that? I think oftentimes you're often looking for the audience back to the segmentation of who you're going to get in front of and making sure that the potential pipeline is there. But yeah, those are our key metrics that we're usually looking at.
I'll add on to that. When we're doing these events, it's not just leads. It's not boost skins. Yep. Like, we're calling out to our C-suite, what is that source pipeline? What is close one? And then what is influenced and any of the meatier activation? So how many meetings, how many like meaningful conversations happened? How many dinner attendees did we have? Things where there was that like quality interaction versus thank you for the sticker.
Yeah.
To add a Sixth Sense plug in there, because it is truly what we do.
Yep.
Whenever we're pulling those segments to see who's going to be there before, we can see what buying stage they're in. But then afterwards, you can also pull what's called a segment performance report and see how you've progressed those accounts and how you've engaged with them and how the event has affected it. So that's another metric that you could take a look at and start to show the progression on.
Yeah, I've heard Saima, you know, your SVP marketing, you know, publicly talk about this goal of getting 10x pipeline out of their event investment. The two things I like about that, one is that it's a very explicit number. It's a nice big number. It's not just focused on what happened at the event, but it really is focused on what happens after the event as well.
Yeah.
And it assumes a body of work investment in that event. It's not just, we talked about this in our session earlier, it's not what you spend, it's what you're buying. Right. Mm-hmm. And it helps you sort of rationalize everything from the great work you guys do at Club Six, right? The activations outside of the show, which become not just a place to hang out, a destination, a coveted destination that really sort of helps promote the brand and also get more people to come and more people to engage. Attribution gets a little hard in that conversation, right? Because you can say, okay, we did this amazing thing at Forrester and, you know, you've got a presence here at Cvent Connect and you've got the Club Six, but almost everybody that was at that event was also influenced by something before that and is likely to be influenced by something after that. What do the attribution conversations sound like internally when you're sort of understanding the impact and maybe the acceleration that events are having?
Yeah, I think that attribution is, especially when it comes to branding, which is harder to necessarily get attribution tied to, I think that it all stems back to that audience you're getting in front of and making sure that you have the right people you're targeting.
Yep.
When it comes to deciding how big our brand is, if we're going to rent out a whole restaurant, do a Club Six, it all just depends, again, on the audience that we're getting in front of and making sure that there's the potential there. So, yeah.
I think it depends on the type of event. For Club Six, where it is largely customers, we're looking at influence. Like, how much of this was influenced on the renewal? How much was influenced on that? If we're doing more direct mail campaigns for the event, that is more sourced. Did that direct mail help source? So the attribution can be like anything else. Yeah. But it all depends on how you tell your story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no one has solved this problem, right? So attribution is hard. And I would argue that the better you're doing sort of an integrated motion like you guys are, the harder it is to answer that question.
Yeah.
But if you give me the choice of having better reporting or better results, I'll take better results all day long.
1,000%.
Yeah. All right, we're wrapping up here with the A-team from Sixth Sense. Again, this last question I think for each of you is, you know, for people that are watching this, that are running events, whether they're event producers or event marketers, for the next step in their journey, what do you want them to know about how events are going to impact their business and should be impacting their business moving forward?
I think that now that we talked about this at this conference a little bit, now that AI is playing more of a role into everything that we do, I think face-to-face interactions are going to become more prominent. And I think that another layer to that is making sure that as a marketer and an event marketer that you're not just focusing on quantity, but quality, which is where that segmentation I mentioned is important, making sure you're going after the right audience and making sure that the follow-up is done in a timely manner as well. So I think leaning into the more face-to-face interactions I think we're going to come into and the audience building as well.
I agree. Ashley, bring us home.
As we move more into agentic AI, I think that human interaction is just going to be so relevant. People are going to crave actual humans.
Yeah.
Like, do I know the difference between an actual human and an agentic AI? And I think
the day might come.
Yeah, that's been a huge theme for me just over the last couple of days. Just really, until the robot becomes the persona, it's about the humans. And the more we can ignite that human spark, the more we can create that human moment, the more it's going to accelerate the relationships and the business results we want.
Yeah.
So, Ashley and Alora, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you,
team.
Yeah.
Hey, team.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.